Well, so much hypocrisy in the church, so many double standards. Does that mean we can't confront the world with its sin until we get our own house in order?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, here we are today. Every day feels like a big day. Every day feels like a major day. Every day feels like the earth is shaking around us. The word does say, though, that all will be shaken. The righteous will never be shaken. This is Michael Brown. Thanks for joining us on The Line of Fire. To get in the conversation today, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Yesterday, the Senate voted not to defund Planned Parenthood. No, it's not the final vote on this. And if Mitch McConnell had allowed it to be part of an earlier bill, he says he stands for pro-life, but he's a pro-life Republican that has disappointed many, many in the pro-life movement. If he had left the bill initially where it was as part of a larger bill, it would have just required a majority. And there would have been enough votes, actually, initially, to vote in this direction. In any case, although, what was it, 53 senators voted to defund Planned Parenthood, including a couple of Democrats. The rest did not vote for it. You needed, what was it, 60 votes? Video number 5 exposing the ghoulish work of Planned Parenthood, the trafficking of body parts. Video number 5 is out. It continues to have shocking, disturbing material with terrible graphics at the end. It is what it is. It is what they do. It is what it is. And we've got some real intense clips to play for you from Barbara Boxer and Elizabeth Warren defending Planned Parenthood. And if you are a woman listening, when we get to those clips a little later in the show, I'd love to hear from you. If you're a woman listening, I'd love to get your take on whether you agree with Barbara Boxer and Elizabeth Warren. And we're going to tackle the subject of hypocrisy in the church as well. We're going to tackle that subject. No question, scandals in the church have hurt us, have hurt our credibility. No question, things that we have done that have been inconsistent have hurt our witness. They have undercut our moral authority. The question is, does that mean then that we back away from confronting sin in the world? Because there's sin in the church, do we therefore say, okay, then we shouldn't say anything? If we have been hypocrites, do we correct that by sanctioning the sins of others or by continuing to speak against the sins of others while getting our own house in order and humbling ourselves? Well, we'll talk about that. I wrote an article on that that interacts with it. And some clips recently went fairly viral. They were preached a little ways back, then went fairly viral recently. A black pastor renouncing hypocrisy in the church. A lot of what he says gets an amen from me, but other things he says make me ask some questions. So we're going to interact with that as well. I mentioned it was a black pastor because there's a specific context when he makes comparisons with slavery. That's why I mentioned that specific detail. We'll take that up today. And this would be really wonderful and helpful. Pastor Carl Hillsong, New York City, if you or any of your staff happen to be listening right now, it would be wonderful if you would issue your own statement to go along with the statement of your senior international leader, Brian Houston, regarding homosexuality in the church, because there's some confusion and a real clear statement from you with love and truth would really be a tremendous help because of the influence that God has given you in New York and beyond. So that's my friendly appeal. We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hypocrisy, double standards in the church. No question, they hurt our witness. This is Michael Brown. The number to call, 866-34-TRUTH. Look, the Catholic Church does speak a lot about moral issues and plays an important role worldwide in addressing moral issues with over 1 billion Catholics. And yet, because of scandals in the church, in particular the pedophile priests, because of that, the Catholic Church's moral authority is greatly undercut. Look, it happened in Ireland with the vote about redefining marriage. Part of the problem there in this overwhelmingly Catholic country was the fact that the scandals that had taken place even there had undercut the church's moral authority. Rightly so, I understand that. The world, interestingly enough, expects us to be different. At the least, they expect us to not be hypocrites. But they think, because we profess to be followers of Jesus and claim the Bible is our authority, that we should be caring for the poor and the needy. And our marriages should be solid. And we should not be caught up in sexual scandals and financial scandals. So no question whatsoever that hypocrisy has hurt us. No question we have to set our own house in order. That's why I've said for many, many years that no-fault heterosexual divorce in the church has done more to undermine marriage than all gay activists combined. At the same time, there is a question. If we've been hypocrites, does that mean that we now just excuse other moral behavior? I want to interact with some passionate preaching. This is Pastor Dewey Smith of the House of Hope, Greater Travelers Rest Church in Decatur, Georgia. Listen to what he has to say about hypocrisy, specifically when it comes to homosexual issues.
And God said to me, here's the problem. You guys in the church can be so hypocritical. He said, in the African-American church, you really got to be careful. I said, what do you mean? He said, because you are guilty of condemning the Supreme Court system and preaching against something. But if you look at half of our choirs, and a great number of our artists that we call abominations and we call demons, we demonize and dehumanize the same people that we use, and we don't say nothing about the gay choir director because he's good for business. As long as the choir sound good, I ain't saying nothing about his sexuality.
All right. He has addressed an elephant in the room. One prominent black pastor, he's with the Lord now, but a nationally respected black pastor told me, and he was opposing this, he was speaking against it. He said, look, you cannot have a good, healthy black gospel church without good music. You need a good choir, you need a good music director. And the assumption is the best ones are going to be gay, so you just look the other way. We're not talking about someone who says, Pastor, I've struggled with same-sex attraction, but I'm living a holy, godly life. I'm not sexually active. I'm not in a sinful relationship. I'm living a godly life, but this has been an area I struggle with. No, we're not talking about that. We're talking about someone who is openly, even flamboyantly gay and practicing homosexuality, leading the choir. You look the other way, because you know this person is going to bring in the crowd with good music. Yeah, that is utterly hypocritical. Another black pastor, godly man, told me that this is the elephant in the room. It's just not being addressed. Everybody sees it, and it's just not being addressed. So how do we address it? That's the question. Yeah, spot on, as they say in Australia, spot on for Pastor Dewey to address these issues, but where do we go with it? That's the question. In other words, do we now say, okay, we can't say what the Supreme Court did was wrong. We can't renounce what the Supreme Court did in redefining marriage. We can't speak against that because we've been hypocrites in the church. Or do we get our own house in order and also address what the Supreme Court has done? Listen to Pastor Dewey Smith as he continues.
We have done what the slave master did to us, dehumanize us, degrade us, demonize us, but then use them for our advantage. It's hypocritical to talk about the Supreme Court and calling them Sodom and Gomorrah, which is not what it's all about. But if that's the case, half our churches have been Sodom and Gomorrah for 100 years.
All right, a few points there. First, if half of the churches have had large numbers, or half the churches have been actively homosexual in the black church, obviously a tremendous exaggeration, and he's just making a point there, then that explains some of the moral weakness and some of the breakdown in the family. But you don't now justify it. Yeah, it's wrong to use somebody for your purposes while you're preaching against certain sins. But if it's kind of wink, wink, hey, we know what you're doing, but I preach this and it sounds good and people just live with both, that then the whole thing's a joke. And it's unfair to compare a slave to a practicing homosexual. This slave was literally a slave without a will or life of their own, just there to do their master's bidding and often beaten and dying young and so on. Whereas you're talking about someone at a hired position in a church, treated well, esteemed and loved, who's free to practice his sin or her sin. How in the world can you make that comparison? I understand the point he's trying to make, but it doesn't work. And then to compare skin color, which has no behavior or morality associated with it, with a practice, a lifestyle. We're not saying someone chose to have same-sex attraction, but to compare that to a practicing lifestyle, active relationship, sexual life, how do you compare that to skin color? Clip number three, Joey. Pastor Dewey continues with his message.
He told me, boy, you got to re-examine yourself. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, on one hand, you quote homosexuality is an abomination from Leviticus. But you say that right after you ate some shrimp, some catfish, and some lobster. You quote Leviticus while you're wearing a wool blend suit. It's also in Leviticus that you shouldn't wear mixed linens. It's in Leviticus that if your wife is on her cycle, that you shouldn't go in the same house with her or even sleep on the same bed with her. That's in Leviticus too. Here's my point. We pick and choose the scriptures that we want to use to beat folk up with, rather than look at our own lives.
Okay, I totally agree with the last point, that some Christians pick and choose things in the Word, criticize this, point at this, point at that. And yet, in our own lives, we let things slide. We're not consistent in our use of Scripture. Totally with him on that. Absolutely good point. Amen, brother. Preach it. I was asking once, does God send hurricanes and judgment? After Hurricane Katrina came, of course, there's terrible loss of life with that, but there was a gay pride event that got rained out, canceled out by the hurricane. And so I asked the question on the radio that year, does God send hurricanes? Someone said if he did, they should first hit the churches because of the sin in our midst. The problem, though, with what he's saying is that, yes, there were laws that God gave to Israel to keep them separate from the nations. He alluded to those. They were not universally binding on all people, whereas the prohibition of homosexual practice in Leviticus 18 was a universal binding prohibition. And it was for all people, for all time, as the context of Leviticus 18 makes clear. And the fact then that it's reiterated in the New Testament makes totally clear. So what he should have said is we need to interpret the Bible consistently rather than give the idea of just throw out what's in Leviticus as if it doesn't apply. All right, clip number four.
Let me tell you something. If God wanted to judge America, he wouldn't need the Supreme Court system. If he wanted to judge America because of sin, he would judge me in 88 at the Freaknik in Atlanta. Y'all ain't saying nothing to me.
All right, tell you what, let's keep going. Clip number five. I want to respond to this before I'm out of time.
Look at your neighbor and tell your neighbor, I don't condemn you. I don't judge you. I'm going to preach Christ to you. Because you can't evangelize and antagonize at the same time. You cannot insult and inspire the same people that you insult. I thank God that Jesus went to Samaria with a woman who has some sexual identity problems and didn't preach condemnation. He just preached Christ. And our greatest missionary opportunity is going to be finding those who may be struggling to say, I'm not better than you, but the same grace that saved me, the same blood that let me come, is the same blood that you're going to need.
Ah, I love those sound bites. You can't evangelize those you antagonize. And amen, preach grace. But remember, Jesus exposed the sin in the woman's life. In John 4, the Samaritan woman, go call your husband. He did it to expose the sin in her own life and then to offer her mercy. And she didn't have a sexual identity problem. She was a promiscuous sinner. That's who Jesus comes to save.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I just want to make a quick public appeal to Pastor Carl Lenz, Hillsong Church, New York City. First, I thank God for the many people who are being drawn to Jesus through your ministry, dear brother. I thank God for many lives that are receiving hope and life. The young people who are flocking to the services, who are interested in Jesus through your ministry, thank you for lifting up Jesus in the city and joining the many others that have been laboring in New York for many, many years to lift up the name of Jesus. There's been great public advertising and things, and appreciate that, and appreciate your heart for worship and your heart for the down and outer. I just want to make an appeal to you, brother. We've reached out behind the scenes several times now without success being able to get a response. So I just want to give you this encouragement. And as I'm speaking on WMCA, blanketing all of New York City into Jersey, onto the island, I'm sure there are folks from your church that tune in to WMCA. So I want to encourage you to do this. When you have been in public TV interviews asked about homosexuality, your answers have not been direct. You even said Jesus didn't address it at all, which actually is quite a misconception. And I wrote you about that, sent a letter to you and your pastoral staff to help clarify those issues, not to condemn or attack you, but to stand by and help as a brother. But you know there was a report that was put out that one of your choir directors is in an open homosexual relationship with another member of the choir. They were reality TV or something, and their story's well known, and that your church had no problem with that whatsoever. You were fine with it. So this story came out. I understand it was a story just to make your church look bad. I got a lot of people asking me about it, and I said, hey, we're contacting the church to get a statement from them. Well, thankfully, Pastor Brian Houston, your senior leader, put out a public statement saying everybody's welcome at our churches. Gays are welcome. We love everybody. And obviously, there's not a formal membership, so everyone can come. Everyone can hear the word worship. But can you serve as a leader if you're practicing homosexual? No. And does Pastor Brian Houston, on behalf of Hillsong, say that homosexual practice is sinful and that there is no such thing as homosexual marriage? Yes, he does make those things clear in a statement. Well, I put that statement out to others that were asking. I said, hey, here's a statement from Pastor Brian. Why? Wanting to help. Just as last year when he made a positive statement after an ambiguous statement at a news conference, he made a positive statement. I trumpeted that out so people would know, hey, Hillsong is making these statements because you know you guys come under a lot of attack. Well, one of the choir members, Reed Kelly, made this statement earlier this year. Let me read it. I became truthful with my church. I'm a part of Hillsong New York City. I'm one of their choir directors. I also sing on their worship team. They've been amazing as well. Nothing has changed here now that I'm completely out and with Reed. He sings in the choir as well. I found that being an honest person has actually come with a lot of benefits. People are more sincere with you and you find out a lot more about other people and you become honest. So from what we understand, he is saying that the church knows that he is in an active relationship with another man. That's what's being said, and that you're fine with that, with him being on the worship team and helping lead the choir. So it would really just be a blessing if Pastor Brian could do it, and then you tweet out after his statement last year, yes, exactly, that's what I'm trying to say. It would really be a blessing, dear brother. It would help many, because there's a lot of moral confusion out there, and people are not clear on the clear statements of Scripture. If you, as a servant of the Lord and a shepherd with a responsibility in God's church, if you would publicly say, yes, of course, we renounce homosexual practice just like we renounce fornication and adultery and greed and a host of other sins and gossip and so on. We say it's wrong. We say that marriage is a union of a man and woman. But anybody that wants to come to our services and hear the gospel, we're going to love on those people. We're going to tell them about Jesus, and we're going to treat them with dignity and respect. Why not say something like that? If you can't affirm that, there's a problem. If you can't affirm it, to not affirm it is a problem. So I give you that encouragement, dear brother, as somebody on your side, not someone out to hurt you or bash you. All right, Michael Brown, 866-34-TRUTH. A lot to say about Planned Parenthood. If you're not going to be able to listen to the whole broadcast, by all means, catch it later with the fifth video up and the Senate vote yesterday. Of course, the battle is not over. A lot to say about that. But let's just stay on the subject of hypocrisy for another moment. 866-34-TRUTH. The right response to hypocrisy in the church is not moral compromise. In other words, well, because we have been lax, because we have pornography in the church, and we've made a mess of our own marriages, and we haven't cared for the poor, therefore, we won't speak out against human trafficking. Therefore, we won't speak out against abortion. No, no, no. We repent of our sins, and we continue to speak out against human trafficking and abortion. Again, you don't sanction the sins of the world because there's been sin in the church. You repent of sin in the church, and you continue to speak out against sin in the world and offer people new life and hope in Jesus. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Colts Neck, New Jersey. Caesar, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown. God bless you, brother.
God bless you.
Yeah, you know, I agree with him in a few things. You know, I agree with the hypocrisy being in the church, which was hard for me to even give my life at first to Christ, you know, to actually believe that Christ changes people, because a lot of people I'll bump into would go to church, but they would be doing, if not the same worst things that I would be doing when I was living in the world. But, you know, Jesus, God spoke to me and you know, told me, you know, I would always ask, like, why people don't make a difference, why, you know, so he spoke to me and told me, why don't I start with myself, you know? People mm-hmm. always take things out of context. I you took the words out of my mouth, I was going to also say, because he, I saw that video, and I disagree with a lot of things he said, and it's funny to me the way he snuck it in there as well. He says that he believes, well, pretty much that one is born that way. And I highly, I disagree with that. You know what I'm saying? Because
let me just jump in, Caesar.
Yeah,
There seem to be, while I absolutely agree again with his call for us to not be hypocrites, and while I love like the soundbites, as I was saying, you can't evangelize those you antagonize and things like that. It makes a lot of good points, and we cherry pick. We're not consistent with Scripture. Yeah, but there are also almost gay talking points built in there. And when you talk about, say, the woman in Samaria, right? When Jesus says, call your husband, why does he say that? You know, well, I don't have a husband. That's right. Well, you know, when you've got five husbands, the man you're living with now is not your husband. That's not a sexual identity problem. It's not a sexual identity problem. That's a sexual sin problem. So, yeah, I'm with you. Amen to some of the points, but other points concern me because you get the impression that what he's actually saying is, we've been hypocrites. Let's face the fact that we've been hypocrites and just kind of stop preaching against sin. Hey, I got to run. We got a break right here. But thank you, sir, for the call. We are in sync. I'm sure if we had more time to talk, we'd find we were in more sync. Friends, go to the website, askdrbrown.org, and be sure to check out this resource offer this week. It's a reminder of the 15% discount you can get through us with Logos Bible Software right on the homepage, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us on the line of fire, 866-348-7884. Again, my concern when we deal with hypocrisy issues is that we respond the wrong way. Here's the right response. To the world, we have let you down. We have been bad examples. Oh, no, not across the board. There are far more pastors who are not in sexual sin than pastors in sexual sin. There are far more pastors who are not guilty of financial scandals than guilty. I mean, staggeringly, proportionately, it's going to be far more that are living clean than those that are secret adulterers and secret extortioners and things like that. But we've had enough bad apples to make all the apples suspect, especially in the eyes of a world that's skeptical to start, especially in the eyes of a world that's mocking and critical to start. So, the assumption is the more famous you are, the more corrupt you are. You know, if you're a TV preacher or a leader or something like that, the bigger your church, the more compromised you are. That's a shame. But we have only ourselves to blame. Look, what in Florida, weren't there three pastors that all had to step down within a fairly short period of time, three megachurch pastors within maybe a 12-month period, all because of adultery? I am not condemning my brothers. May God's grace be theirs to fully restore. I live by that same grace. But we have only ourselves to blame, beginning in the late 80s with our prominent TV preachers with scandals, especially in charismatic circles, but beyond that, in evangelical circles. It's tragic. But the right response is to say, we have been guilty, and by God's grace, we are getting our house in order. And we know that God's ways are best, so we're going to continue to stand for that. We're going to continue to stand against the redefinition of marriage. We're going to continue to stand for life beginning in the womb, etc. As opposed to, we've stood against homosexual practice. We've stood against abortion. We've stood against pornography and things like that, and yet we've been guilty of sexual sin. We've been guilty of financial corruption, so we're just not going to say anything. That is the complete wrong reaction. 866-34-TRUTH. We'll go to Maryland, an anonymous caller. Welcome to the line of fire.
Hi. I just wanted to say that Christians are not perfect, but just forgiven. But I agree with the pastor and some, what was his name, Dewey Smith. But also, the husband should respect the wife during her menstrual cycle. I don't understand about sleeping in separate beds and all that. But also, if men
I certainly agree in uh-huh. terms of sexual separation during that period. I believe that the Leviticus 18
cleaning
principle.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I believe that Leviticus 18 does address that as something that all people should practice. Here's the thing. Obviously, it's true that we are forgiven and not perfect. Obviously.
Right.
Thank God. Thank God for that. Otherwise, we'd all be fried. We'd all be lost. On the other hand, our lives should be different. I'm sure you agree with that. In other words,
right.
As God's people, we should be different than we used to be.
True.
And that's the
true.
Thing. In other words, if I came to a church and they had a strong drug rehab ministry, right? And they talked, and I'm there strung out on drugs. Well, I want to hear from people who used to be strung out on drugs but aren't any longer. That's
right,
what's going to give
right.
me hope. I want to
That's
hear,
true.
if my marriage is falling apart, I want to hear from a couple that said, we were on the verge of divorce and everything was falling apart, but we heard the gospel and Jesus helped put our lives together and now our marriage is solid. So, we're not perfect, but we should be different. Thank you, though, for calling and making those points. Much appreciated. We're going to be back with more of your calls, 866-34-TRUTH, right here on The Line of Fire.
Flame, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us on The Line of Fire and making The Line of Fire what it is, which is live radio, talking about live issues with you, our live listening audience, and live callers. 866-34-TRUTH. This is Michael Brown, your listener-sponsored voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. 866-348-7884. Lenore, North Carolina. David, welcome to The Line of Fire.
Thank you, Dr. Brown. This is I'm a first-time caller. And
great.
I just happened to see your post today on Facebook and how we clean up our own act while addressing the sins of the culture.
Yes.
And I posted some things that I see as false teaching within a lot of churches. The idea that all sin is equal. Sin is sin. It's all equal.
Mm-hmm.
And my Southern Baptist background, majority of the Southern Baptists I know believe that, including pastors. And even when I try to show them the scriptures that prove that all sin is not equal, most of them will not listen, and they certainly won't teach it because they do not want to upset the people within their church.
So give me some scriptural arguments, because I agree with you. Yeah, on the one hand, sin is sin. On the one hand, Jesus died for the sins of the world. On the one hand, the most righteous person in the world in and of themselves is still too sinful to enter God's kingdom. So in that sense, as I've told a rabbi friend in a debate, you can drown in 20 feet of water, or you can drown in 100 feet of water, you still drown. But I'm totally with you that there are sins that are more grave or have more serious consequence. So what scripture would you use to back that point?
Matthew 12:31-32, where Jesus was talking about blaspheming against the Holy Spirit, would not be forgiven, but all other sins, including blaspheming the Son of Man, would be forgiven. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, either in this age or the age to come.
Right. So there Jesus is saying this particular sin is of a more severe nature. So that alone would be a good example. Any other scriptures you would use to make that point?
John 19:11. Jesus answered him,
"Yep,
you would have no authority over me at all unless it had been given to you from above. Therefore, he who delivered me over to you has the greater sin." And he was speaking to
Pilate.
Right,
he's talking to Pilate about the Jewish leadership that overstepped their bounds to do what they did. They committed a greater sin. Great example. Any others?
1 Corinthians 5, the man that was committing adultery in the church, in the last verse in that particular chapter, Paul writes, Is it not those inside the church whom you are to judge? God judges those outside. Purge the evil person from among you. So in this case, his sin was so great that God, that Paul commanded that he be expelled.
Right.
From the church, and he was in adultery with his father's wife.
Right. So if someone claims to be a follower of Jesus and is living in open, unrepentant sin, then that person, if they refuse to repent, that person should be disfellowshipped. You know, David, if we also think under the law, there were some offenses that carried the death penalty and others that didn't. There wasn't even a prescribed punishment for, say, eating pork, whereas there is a death penalty, say, for adultery or witchcraft or Sabbath breaking or homosexual practice under the Sinai covenant. So for sure, there are differences. And look, when God destroyed the 10 northern tribes, or when he severely judged the southern kingdom of Judah, especially for the sins of Manasseh, there were things he kept singling out, you know, the shedding of innocent blood, the shedding of the blood of children, sexual immorality, injustice towards the poor. So my friend Professor Robert Gagnon made the point on The Line of Fire a few months back. Let's say, and he wasn't justifying gluttony, but let's say a man comes home after a big dinner, And his wife says, "Oh, how was dinner tonight with your friends?" And he said, "Oh, I was a glutton. I overate. I stuffed myself, and I had to have that big dessert." And she goes, "Oh, we all overeat sometimes. It's not a big deal. Don't feel bad." So he thought, "Oh, that wasn't bad." So the next day, he comes home and says, "Honey, I just want you to know that I picked up three women and had sex with three women today." Well, is she going to, "Oh, that's not a problem"? So obviously, yes, it's true. If you break one commandment, you break them all. In other words, you're guilty. If you're going to be pointing a finger at someone else and you yourself are guilty, there's hypocrisy. But very clearly, and you could probably give more examples, David. Absolutely, some things are more serious than others. I asked a caller a couple weeks ago who was arguing that all sin was the same. I said, "All right, so if a man looks at you lustfully, he thinks a lustful thought towards you, that's just the same as if he raped you, beat you, and killed you? Or if someone told a lie about your kids, is that just the same as if they burned your house down and burned them alive?" I mean, nobody really thinks like that, and yet we get so theological, we're no longer logical, unfortunately.
Right. Paul's second letter to the church in Corinth, to follow up the first letter where the man was expelled, there was somebody that had been committing sin that had repented, and they had been forgiven in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. And I'll just paraphrase it. Basically, anyone whom you forgive, I also forgive. And that the goal was restoration, not to punish them too severely, but not for that sin to spread like a cancer.
Exactly, and it's for the person's own good. And thanks for bringing in the redemptive side, David. Much appreciated. Yeah, the goal is always restoration. If someone is put out, it's for their good, to wake them up to reality, to bring them to repentance, and so the sin won't spread. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. David, thanks for calling in for the first time. I hope you get to keep listening to the broadcast. Thanks for the comments and scriptures. 866-34-TRUTH, Irvington, New Jersey. Renee, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi, good afternoon.
Yes, hello.
Hi, good afternoon. Okay, in regards to about what you were talking about, abortion?
Yes.
Okay, I did it when I was younger, not knowing. But my thing is, people talk about Planned Parenthood and they send the message like you're doing the person a favor, when really they're not. And the fight that they're having, I'm just saying, for the people who are pro-life, they should not try to fight with these people on the same level, but find a way to educate young women. Because I was in a country, and things happened that weren't supposed to happen, and, you know, you didn't know your options, and when you went, they made it look like, oh, you know, it's just a quick procedure, it's going to be fine, and they don't tell you that years later, you get up in the middle of the night crying.
Oh, Renee.
Because they put me on there, and in the middle of the process, I walk out of it begging them to stop, and they didn't.
How many years ago was this?
This was like 8 years.
Have you received forgiveness in your heart from the Lord for this?
I know I have.
But it still hurts.
It hurts because when I read my Bible, I take comfort in knowing that I'm forgiven. But I read my Bible daily, and it reminds me. And then when you turn on your TV or your radio and you hear these things and you see them in the paper, they need to find a way to reach people who have not done anything, not fight these people, because they manipulate you and they make you feel like this is a way out. Because I remember the lady when we were doing the supposed to be counseling, she's like, "Do you want your child to be in the foster care?" Because I was like, "I could maybe have it and I give it away." She's like, "No, don't you know the foster care system? They abuse your children. You don't know what home you're going to go into." So this stuff like that, and you have no one. So I just get so torn up inside because I feel like they should find a way to educate women.
Yeah. And Renee, first, thanks for being open with our listeners. We've had several calls in the last few weeks, just like yours, where someone, women, even a man that were involved with abortion, one of them over 40 years ago, break down crying as they talk about it. I mean, Renee, you're saving lives as you do this. You are literally saving lives because people are going to hear your voice and they're going to think twice. But by all means, yes, 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 we have to do our best to educate the public however we can about the humanity of that child in the womb and about real life options if the mother is unable to care for that child. Thanks for opening your heart. May the Lord's grace be yours.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I want to ask you to give me your best ear for a moment as I just spend a few minutes talking about forgiveness of sins. This is Michael Brown. You are listening to The Line of Fire. 866-348-7884. There are enough people that listen to this broadcast that are driving in their cars or somehow listening on live radio and just you happen to flip on this station, even though we've been on Daily Talk Radio for years. Maybe we're new in your area, or maybe you just happen to tune in a moment ago and you heard that word forgiveness. Maybe this is just for you. So I want to speak to this as clearly as I can about the power of the blood of Jesus. There are consequences to sins we commit. For example, if I robbed a bank yesterday and became a follower of Jesus today, I would still have to go to jail tomorrow for robbing the bank, even if my sins were forgiven. We understand that. If you were a follower of Jesus, you got discouraged one day, you went out and got drunk, driving in your car, you got in a bad accident, as a result of which a leg had to be amputated, God can completely forgive that sin and bring you into right relationship with Him, but you might have lost a leg. We understand there can be consequences to sin. If you had an abortion, obviously a baby that could have been here as part of your family or the family of adoptive parents, that child is not here in this world, although thankfully we believe that child is with the Lord. But number one, forgiveness is forgiveness. When God forgives, it's because Jesus paid it in full. Jesus paid it in full. 1 Peter 2, He Himself took our sins, the just for the unjust. 1 Peter 2, 1 Peter 3, He bore our sins in His body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live for righteousness. By His wounds we have been healed, which in that context is focusing primarily on forgiveness. The blood of Jesus, 1 John 1, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. You can be clean in God's sight as if you never, ever sinned. You can stand righteous in God's sight not because you've had a perfect life, not because you've been perfect today, but because the blood of Jesus was the perfect sacrifice. Isaiah 53, all of us like sheep have gone astray. Each one has turned to his own way, but the Lord has laid on Him, on Jesus, the iniquity of all of us. When God pronounces us righteous, our sins are cast into the depths of the sea. Micah 7, they're removed as far as the east is from the west. Psalm 103, He removes them just like a cloud is in the sky and then disappears. Isaiah 45, that's the power of the mercy of God. when I came to faith in Jesus at the age of 16, the previous 2 years I had been a boastful, partying, drug-using, rock-drumming sinner with an angry, violent tongue and a proud, rebellious heart. And I boasted about my sin as I practiced it. And I thought the more drugs I used and the more I double-crossed people, the cooler I was. And the last weeks before I came to faith, however many weeks it was, as people in this little church were praying for me, the Holy Spirit began to convict me, and I felt miserable. I didn't know it was the Spirit convicting me, but I felt miserable. One day I was boasting about my sin. The next day I felt miserable about it. It was awful. And when I got born again and when I really surrendered my life, Jesus, I'm yours. I want to live for you. I'm not holding on to shooting drugs. I want to follow you. December 17th of 71, the guilt was gone. Even the guilt for the most embarrassing, ugly, wrong thing I ever did, stealing money from my own father, lying about it, the guilt was gone. It disappeared. Yeah, I subsequently told him when he asked me what I had done. But in point of fact, I looked for it. I looked for the guilt. I thought about what I had done, and I searched for the guilt, and it wasn't there. Forgiven. When God forgives, in that sense, he forgets. And the slate is clean. And when a month later you say, God, you know, I'm just feeling bad about, I wanted to, what are you talking about? It doesn't exist. It's off your record. It's been purged. It's clean. Somebody did something wrong towards me. I don't even remember what it was some months back, and or said something, acted out of hand, whatever. And they came and, you know, asked forgiveness. I said, totally forgiven, as if it never happened. As if it never happened. And a few days afterwards, they said, you know, really, I feel bad about that. I said, about what? It never happened, man. We're good. Everything's fine. That's me as a human being, by God's grace. How much more God forgives? So I understand our last caller still feeling the pain of abortion, and that can be a real thing, and you turn that into prayer, and you pray for other women. But I want to encourage others, stop beating yourself up. If God's forgiven you, you're forgiven. Stop beating yourself up. If God's forgiven you, you're forgiven. Walk in it. Did Jesus pay for that sin or not? Yes, he did. And whatever you did that does have lasting consequence, if you submit yourself to the Lord, God can turn it around for good. The loss can become a gain. The pain can become healing. So, don't despair. God's mercy is great, and he is a redeemer. With Satan, the world, the flesh, our sin meant for evil, God can turn around for good. If you've never asked him to forgive you, if you truly believe Jesus died on the cross to pay for your sins, if you truly believe he rose from the dead, and you are ready to submit your life to God, call on him as Lord, you can do it right in the privacy of your home. You can step away from your work desk and go to the bathroom and pray privately. You can do it as you're driving your car. God, have mercy on me. I've sinned. I'm guilty in your sight. I don't make any excuses. And I know I deserve your judgment in hell, but I believe Jesus died to take my place. I believe he died for my sins, rose from the dead. And I ask you, God, to forgive me. Wash me absolutely clean. Give me a brand new start. And I confess you as my Lord, my Savior. The rest of my life, God, I'm yours. You can put that in your own words, but if you genuinely mean it, God will receive you right now, and you will pass from death to life, and you'll become a child of God. If you did pray that prayer, if you did cry out to God to save you, and you need some help on this new life, just go to the website, askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org, shoot us a note, and we will do our best to point you in the direction of growth and help. Friends, visit the website. We've got lots of new articles, resources up for you, and a great way to save 15% on your purchases with Logos Bible software. All right, my bottom line today, yes, there has been hypocrisy in the church, but we don't back down from our moral stands. Instead, we repent of our sin and then call the world to repent as well. Well, so much hypocrisy in the church, so many double standards. Does that mean we can't confront the world with its sin until we get our own house in order?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome to The Line of Fire. Boy, we just had a great past hour talking about hypocrisy in the church, talking about double standards. And we said the solution is not to quit standing for righteousness, but rather the solution is to get our house in order while we continue to stand for righteousness. At the same time today, video number 5 exposing Planned Parenthood has come out. Video number 5. And more shocking information and terribly distressing graphics at the end with aborted baby parts. So we're going to talk about Planned Parenthood. The Senate was unable to get enough votes yesterday to vote to defund Planned Parenthood. However, thankfully, the votes are 10 higher. I think it went from 43 to 53, somewhere in there from a few years back. The tide continues to go in the right direction. And maybe when all the information comes out, maybe the pro-life movement will be strong enough that more and more senators, congressmen will stand up and do what's right. If you voted for a Democrat who voted not to defund Planned Parenthood yesterday, you need to do some serious soul searching. Or maybe their stance surprised you and there's no soul searching to do. You'll let them know you'll never vote for them again unless they change their stance. But check to see if your senator voted to defund Planned Parenthood or not. This is Michael Brown. Welcome to The Line of Fire. 866-34-TRUTH. Now, gentlemen, you are welcome to call in as well. You are welcome to call in. However, I do want to hear especially from the ladies who are listening. Do you agree with these perspectives? Do you agree with these perspectives from Senator Barbara Boxer and from Elizabeth Warren? Joey, grab click number 6. This is Barbara Boxer yesterday. On MSNBC's The Rundown with Jose Diaz-Balart, clip number 6.
Monday's vote, was this like the latest battle? What's next in this war?
Well, it is a war. I'm glad you called it that. It's a war on women's health. It's not about abortion. Planned Parenthood spends 97% of its dollars on non-abortion related services, such as breast cancer screenings and pap smears and stopping the spread of STDs. They serve 2.7 million people in America every year. 500,000 of those happen to be Hispanic. It is a very important healthcare organization.
Now I've been reading quotes from pro-life leaders saying blatant lie to say only 3% of the funding goes for abortion-related services. But why couldn't Barbara Boxer say, well, certainly we'll agree that the 3% should not be allowed. In other words, that no taxpayer money can be used for anything relative to abortion, and Planned Parenthood is going to have to show us that bookkeeping. Well, the reason would be, aside from the 97%, 3% figure apparently being way, way off, the other issue would simply be this, that Barbara Boxer is pro-abortion. And what you're going to hear in some of these clips, and then ladies, you get to weigh in shortly, 866-34-TRUTH, is basically that the women of America today are up in arms against any thought of defunding Planned Parenthood. That the women of America today are absolutely saying our bodies, our choice. Is that right? Does that speak for most American women today? Does that speak for you?
Cleansing flame, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
This attack started from the day Planned Parenthood was founded in 1916, when the founder of Planned Parenthood was arrested for trying to distribute birth control to poor women. So it's a constant battle here. I can't believe in this century we are still battling against women's health.
Against women's health in this century. Perhaps we're arguing for the health of the baby in the womb. Perhaps we're arguing against exploitation of poor women and minorities, where Planned Parenthood makes hundreds of millions of dollars through abortions. Perhaps we're arguing against the eugenics philosophy of Margaret Sanger, the aforementioned founder of Planned Parenthood, whose radical communist and eugenics ideas got her in trouble back then. Perhaps we're arguing against the concept that any human beings are weeds, human weeds, to use the language and concept of Margaret Sanger. Perhaps that's what we're arguing against. Listen to what Elizabeth Warren has to say, clip number 9, as she weighs in on where we stand today in the battle for life.
The Republican scheme to defund Planned Parenthood is not some sort of surprised response to a highly edited video. Nope, the Republican vote to defund Planned Parenthood is just one more piece of a deliberate, methodical, orchestrated right-wing attack on women's rights. And I'm sick and tired of it. Women everywhere are sick and tired of it. The American people are sick and tired of it.
The American people are sick and tired of it. You know what I think the American people are sick and tired of? Being lied to by the media. Being lied to by the media. You have these damning videos, highly edited, yeah, because they're several hours long and you're putting out a 5 or 10 or 15 minute video, so they are highly edited, but they are truthfully edited. That's why the Center for Medical Progress that put these videos out also released full, complete versions of these videos and even transcripts. As some have said, when you watch the whole of it, it's even more damning than the edited version. It is not edited in a misleading way. Quit throwing out the same tired, old, hackneyed, false talking points. I think Americans are tired of being lied to by a media that is largely ignoring these because it goes against the political correctness of the society. Let me go a little further with this, if I may. When surveys were done some years back of newscasters, they were overwhelmingly, I mean, over 90% overwhelmingly pro-abortion. And we're going to expect unbiased news reporting. How dare they ignore these? I think Americans are outraged that now on YouTube these things are going viral. There was enough of a viral reaction for the Senate to vote on defunding Planned Parenthood as the videos were still coming out and people calling for criminal investigations. And some people might be saying, I didn't see that reported much on TV. Why? That's what Americans are outraged over. I think Americans are also outraged over babies in the womb being treated like trash, unless you could make money off that trash. Pile of goop? Come on. Just a mass of tissue? But somehow it becomes sellable human parts, sellable livers and sellable brains and things like that. And even you might even end up with an intact baby after an abortion. How do you get an intact baby? Could it be the baby was born alive, as happened with Kermit Gosnell in his House of Horrors? He's in prison for those horrors. Could it be that sometimes the baby's born alive and then killed? Remember President Obama, then Senator Obama, voted against the Born Alive Act that would protect the baby that was a subject of abortion and survived, that the hospital, the caregiver, would now have to care for that child and try to save its life. He voted against that. Could it be that this is increasingly barbarous in the eyes of more and more people? Could it be that, the 3D and 4D ultrasounds are opening people's eyes? Could it be the more people hear about Margaret Sanger's views, the more shocked they are, and the more they learn about her Negro Project? Because these Negroes just multiply with all their bad habits and lack of education. They just multiply. So we need to get some ministers because they'll trust their own ministers more than the white person. And we don't want to tell them, you know, we don't want them to think that the goal is the extermination of the black people. So we just get these black pastors to get them to have abortions and keep the numbers down. Is it something to celebrate? Is Planned Parenthood celebrating? Because in New York City, a couple years back, it may be current now, but the last survey we had, more black babies were aborted than born. Is that something to celebrate? Listen to what Elizabeth Warren has to say. Clip number 10. She talks about why so many people use Planned Parenthood.
Why do so many people use Planned Parenthood? Because they're nonprofit and they're open. More than half of Planned Parenthood centers are located in areas without ready access to health care.
Yeah. Black Lives Matter. I wrote about that a couple weeks back or last week. Black Lives Matter beginning in the womb. Democrat Ohio State Representative Bill Patman addressed participants at a Woman Betrayed rally Tuesday, a couple weeks back, joining others in demanding that a week ago, demanding that Planned Parenthood be investigated and defunded. During his address, Patman said Black Lives Matter protesters who target police officers in places like Ferguson, Missouri, or Baltimore, Maryland, should target Planned Parenthood, which was founded by eugenicist Margaret Sanger. Quote, you hear a lot of demonstrations across the country now about Black Lives Matter, said Patton, who's African-American. Well, they skip one place. They should be in front of Planned Parenthood. Absolutely. So one more clip. This is clip number 11. One more from Elizabeth Warren. Ladies listening to this broadcast, tell me if you agree with what she has to say. Clip number 8.
I want to say to my Republican colleagues, the year is 2015. Not 1955 and not 1895. Women have lived through a world where backward-looking ideologues tried to interfere with the basic health decisions made by a woman and her doctor. And we are not going back. Not now, not ever.
She is more forthright than Barbara Boxer in the quotes that we've played in saying this is about our right to choose. We are 21st century women. Well, doesn't 21st century women mean that you can now look at 3D and 4D ultrasounds? And isn't there a reason where, 75% of women considering an abortion who look at an ultrasound end up not having the abortion? Maybe in the 21st century, we should learn a little bit more about the value of human life beginning in the womb, even lives that people say are not important, the most innocent, the most unprotected, the most vulnerable of all? I wonder how many women in America Elizabeth Warren speaks for. Oh, I'm sure many. I'm sure there are many that still embrace the radical feminist mindset, but that has not really done well for women. And the loss of dignity of motherhood and the loss of esteem of motherhood and the loss of esteem for the female persona and the celebration of gender distinctions. I don't think that that has helped women or men, for that matter. An article in the New York Post about the 3%, only 3% of Planned Parenthood funding goes, or of their budget, goes towards abortion, the other 97% towards health care. Aside from that being many just say an outright lie. New York Post article says this, the 3% figure is an artifice and a dodge, but even taking it on its own terms, it's not much of a defense. Only Planned Parenthood would think saying that they only kill babies 3% of the time. That's something to brag about. How much credit would we give someone for saying he only drives drunk 3% of the time or only cheats on business trips 3% of the time or only hits his wife during 3% of domestic disputes? This is Rich Lowry in the New York Post. 866-34-TRUTH. Ladies, Is Elizabeth Warren speaking for you? Is Barbara Boxer speaking for you? Are you with her in saying, hey, this is not the 1890s, this is not the 1950s, and we are not going back? Do you think there's been progress for the women of America? Do you think radical feminism has brought progress yet? Certain ways, certain positive things with women's rights. Like, there was a time when women couldn't vote in America. Glad that's not the case. There was a time when the idea of equal pay for women doing equal jobs is not the case. It's still not there, but at least it's what we believe should be right and we strive for. But a whole lot of other ways. It's been a war on women, not a war for women. 866-34-TRUTH.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We're continuing to talk about Planned Parenthood and abortion. And just want to get your take on if you have the same mentality Elizabeth Warren and Barbara Boxer do, that, hey, this is the 21st century. Women have moved on. It is shocking that these crazy right-wing Republicans are daring to speak against abortion in this day and age or speak about defunding Planned Parenthood. Now, honestly, do Elizabeth Warren and Barbara Boxer genuinely believe that the Republicans are trying to oppose women's health care? Is that what they genuinely, honestly believe? Do they not understand that the issue is abortion? Well, the thing is, 97% of the money is not used for abortion. Again, people call that an outright, blatant lie. And I'll see what data we can find on that. Just looking at emails from folks who are just... pro-life leaders, terribly upset over the lies. Just got an email from Kristen Hawkins of Students for Life. Last night I watched as the U.S. Senate debated the defund Planned Parenthood bill. During the floor speeches, I heard pro-abortion members throw out phrases like, a mere 3% of their services are for abortion. This is about taking away women's rights to contraception. What year is this? It's not 1958. She said, I was so angry that the lies that these Senate members kept propagating... At the lies, the Senate members kept propagating. The whole time they spoke phrases from the Center for the Medical Progress's videos kept popping in my head. A little less crunchy method to get more whole specimens. I'm going to crush below. I'm going to crush above. We've been very good at getting heart, lung, liver, so I'm not going to crush that part. She said, then I sat and watched as the Senate failed to reach the 60 votes we needed to overcome a Democratic filibuster on bringing the bill up for a vote. Now, again, progress is being made in that. When a similar vote was brought to Congress a few years back, I think it was about 10 less that voted, maybe 53 to 43. Now, also probably reflected the makeup of the Senate. But what's it going to take to see Planned Parenthood defunded? It's going to take a national pro-life uprising that's sufficient to tell these Democrats, you want my vote, you're going to have to change here. Now, that's not the only thing to deal with abortion. There are many, many other issues in terms of dealing with abortion, but that's certainly one of them. 866-34-TRUTH. So my question, especially to the ladies listening, I understand there are radical feminists. You have a Hillary Clinton running for president. I understand that. In my book, she's a radical feminist in terms of her ideologies when it comes to women, when it comes to abortion. And there are plenty of women who just by default, the way they've been raised and the way they think, yeah, it's abortion. It's not a good thing, but yeah, it's still better than having a baby you don't want or a baby that's going to be sick or something like that, or baby with Down syndrome. Or yes, we have abortion. It's a better thing. But what percentage of women? I understand there's massive division across the country over, but hearing Elizabeth Warren, hearing Barbara Boxer, you'd get the idea that they are speaking for the women of America. And there is a very sizable part of the population in America of women that are strongly pro-life. So I want to get your reaction as a woman to Barbara Boxer and Elizabeth Warren. Let us start in Raleigh, North Carolina. Hey, Joey, I've got a screen freeze here. If we could go to Jane in Raleigh. All right, we can't because Jane is not there. Not sure what happened to my system here, but we'll get our phones, everything working properly. 866-34-TRUTH. Blake Neff, Daily Caller, last week, July 29th. A major feminist author and former Planned Parenthood member shredded the U.S. media Wednesday for its shockingly unprofessional failure to cover the release of secret videos showing alleged trafficking in fetal organs by employees at Planned Parenthood. Camille Paglia, self-described dissident feminist, also lesbian. And so, in other words, she's not a right-wing cultural Christian. And widely syndicated cultural critic made her remarks as part of a three-day interview series with the website Salon. She was discussing her overall displeasure with the modern state of the American media and said the case of Planned Parenthood was a key recent example of its decline. So here's what she says. Let me give you a recent example of the persisting insularity of liberal media thought in the media. When the first secret Planned Parenthood video was released in mid-July, anyone who looks only at liberal media was kept totally in the dark about it, even after the second video was released. But the videos were being run nonstop all over conservative talk shows on radio and television. It was a huge and disturbing story, but there was a total silence in the liberal media. That kind of censorship was shockingly unprofessional. 866-34-TRUTH. We go to Jane in Raleigh. Glad we could connect. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hello.
Yes, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Okay, well, thank you for informing the audience. And I want to let you know that Elizabeth Warren absolutely, in no way, shape, or form, represents many women in the U.S. I just think it's so sad how misinformed she is.
Yeah. How do you react when you hear her words?
Honestly, heartbreaking, because if she only knew, if you do research on abortion and Google it, do you know that as far as it can cause breast cancer? I mean, there's a higher rate of women to get breast cancer that had abortion, depression, torment. And so she is lying, and I pray in the name of Jesus, very, very soon we'll see that this is defunded and that other women in the future will never, ever have to live in the shoes of women that have had an abortion. So thank you for taking a stand. Forgive me, you can probably tell I'm quite traumatized over it myself. I had an abortion, and it was the worst decision I've ever made. So thank you for what you're doing.
Yeah. Jane, how many years ago did you have that abortion?
23.
Yeah. And
you know, I have a hardest time forgiving myself that I have, because, you know, the Bible, you know, told me to. So in the name of Jesus, I pray and believe that soon, very soon, I'll be totally healed. And I know I'm not alone. So
Jane, you're not alone. In recent weeks, as we've addressed these things, we've had several calls. The first hour, a woman called her abortion 8 years ago. She's breaking down, crying and crying. She wakes up in the middle of the night having these dreams, trying to stop the abortion, and she can't. Another woman called last week, 40 years ago, she had an abortion. And she breaks down crying on the phone. A man, decades ago, went with his girlfriend to abort the baby. He breaks down crying on the phone. But Jane, as you speak up, there are young women listening, there are older women listening that hear this and who say, I'm not going to do it. Maybe even driving to an abortion clinic and you hear Jane's tears, you hear her voice, you hear the tears. Lives are going to be saved, and may the Lord give you complete forgiveness in your heart that you can receive in Jesus' name.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the line of fire. This is Michael Brown, your listener-sponsored voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Hey, I'm just getting a... I heard an echo in my ear for a second, and hearing myself is... I'll say it once, don't need to hear it twice. All right, we have focused again this hour on the newest Planned Parenthood video of the failure to go ahead with voting on defunding Planned Parenthood. Although 53 senators voted to defund that, that meant that there were even some Democrats that joined in. I encourage every one of you, whatever state you live in, if you live in North Carolina, for example, the two senators voted to defund Planned Parenthood. You should let them know that you appreciate that. As we broadcast all over North Carolina in this second hour, you may need to check your state where you live and see in Texas, in Utah, and other states across the nation where we're speaking to right now, how your senators voted. And if they voted the right way, encourage them. If they voted the wrong way, tell them, you will not have my vote because Planned Parenthood must be defunded. By the way, a quick note, all my friends in DFW area, all of you listening on our great stations in Greater Dallas, Fort Worth, I'm going to be part of the first ever Messianic Jewish Conference focusing on the new Tree of Life version of the Bible. It's going to be an exciting conference. I'll be there. Pastor Jack Hayford, Jonathan Burness, Jeffrey Seif, and others. It should be a terrific conference, a real eye-opening, encouraging, edifying. And it will be sponsored by Gateway Church in Grapevine. So many of you know Gateway, one of the largest, fastest-growing churches in America, led by Pastor Robert Morris. And they have a great heart for standing with Israel and the salvation of the Jewish people. So for information on that, for information, go to my website, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org, and just click on itinerary or click on contact. And under that, you'll see itinerary. Okay, before I go back to your calls, I want to know from women in particular, but men as well, do Barbara Boxer and Elizabeth Warren speak for you? Let's listen to a clip from the fifth video. The fifth video, which, as headlines are saying, shows Planned Parenthood official willing to sell whole baby bodies so that the research center could use them and have intact baby parts. How do you get a whole aborted baby? Would that mean the baby was born alive? Clip number 12 will play from our end.
Can you get creative? Can you alter if we say we need...
Or not just liver, thymus, but, you know, let's say neural tissue is very difficult.
Could you adjust the procedure if you knew, okay, they need high volume of this? Could you match that in
18 to 22 week neural specimens, both hemispheres intact?
You could do that.
Yeah, I think we can. I mean, some of it is really... some of it will be happenstance, because sometimes as the procedure is happening, the procedure itself for the removal is generally standardized. I'm saying generally loosely, generally standardized, and so just depending on the patient's anatomy, how many weeks, where it's placed in the uterus, we're going to potentially be able to have some that will be more or less intact, and then some that will not be. But it's something that we can look at exploring how we can make that happen, so we have a higher chance. It'll probably also require a little bit of input from the doctors, because the doctors are the ones asking directly, doing that, and when it matters, in the cases of when it's mattered, the physicians also need an intact specimen. They can make it happen.
As someone just shouted over to me, harvesting babies. God help us.
Give us strength to always do what's right. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. Let us go back to the phones. Burlington, North Carolina. Angela, welcome to The Line of Fire.
Thank you. I just want to say that Barbara Boxer does not speak for me. And I'm still searching for someone in Washington who does. I'm still looking. But in one of the first clips you played at the beginning of the show, it was mentioned Planned Parenthood does breast cancer screenings.
Yeah.
Well, I've done some research myself, and there was a group who called many Planned Parenthood offices under the guise of wanting breast screening, and we do not offer that. And
yeah, I remember that claim being challenged, Angela.
It wasn't absolutely just one.
Yeah, I remember that being challenged consistently, and maybe we can find the video footage for that or the quotes on that. But I remember that as well. That specific just didn't have it prepared today to pull up, but that very thing was challenged. And one thing you know for sure is you go in there with a baby contemplating abortion, they're not going to say, well, there are many options now, and you may want to consider adoption, or you may want to consider, let's make sure you take a look, let's get an ultrasound. Look, they fight against requiring a woman to have an ultrasound before she has an abortion. So it has nothing to do with choice. It has to do with, we got one thing that we want to do, and that's abortion. Not say they don't do anything else, but you're to believe that is a major focus. So, we'll see if we can grab more details on that, but thank you for calling. May the Lord raise up many voices that resonate, with your voice in DC. Go ahead. Back to you.
Well, I have one more thing. If Republicans are trying to undermine women's health, why are we trying to get a certified doctor with hospital admitting privileges on site? I mean, that sounds like a terrible undermining of women's health, you know?
Right. Yeah, look, the fact that it's just talking points, Angela. It's just trying to, because it's mainly men, most of the senators are men, so it's just to try to look at it that you've got these uncaring men who are fighting against women. And then people get all, riled up over it. And it's nothing but talking points. Nobody is fighting against women's health. They're fighting for the health of the unborn child. Absolutely right. Great points. And thank you for raising them, Angela. 866-34-TRUTH. We'll stay in North Carolina with Donald. You can weigh in as a man. Go ahead. Welcome to The Line of Fire.
Thank you, Dr. Brown. It's a great pleasure talking with you. I've been listening to you for quite a few years, and I appreciate all that you do. One of the things I wanted to mention is that 27 years ago, my daughter was in college, and her and her boyfriend came to me one day and says, we want to get married. I says, why? Well, I said, when? He says, well, soon. So she's telling me that she's pregnant. And come to find out that they both went to a abortion clinic in downtown Boston, Massachusetts, and my son-in-law said to my daughter while they were sitting there talking to the people, I says, let's not do this, let's get married. And I'm so proud of them doing that.
Now what happened? And they've been married ever since.
They've been married. They'll be married 27 years tomorrow.
Isn't that great? And so your grandson or granddaughter?
My granddaughter.
And is what, 26 or almost 27?
She's 26. She'll be 27 in January, and she's getting married next June.
Oh, how sweet. Isn't that something? So you could, in not too many years, be a great-grandfather through someone that could have not existed. if they had done what other teenagers had done. And so they made a mistake, but they did the right thing. They made the lifelong commitment and got married. And you had the sense to stand with them as they did. Did they ever tell you what the conversation was like in the abortion clinic?
Well, you know, not really. I mean, they talked about it. I mean, even my wife she went to nursing school later on, and she did a paper on abortions, visiting abortion clinics and getting information and stuff, and did a paper in college for her. She became an RN.
Mm.
And my daughter is an LPN, and they just, I was just so proud of them.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Donald, we had someone call in the first hour. She said it was in another country, but when she went in for an abortion, she just wanted to know options and things, and said, well, what about someone else adopting the child? And they did everything they could to talk her out of it. Anything other than an abortion. They said, no, that child will end up in foster care, and that child will not be in this and that, and it'll be a horror story. So she ended up having the abortion. We had another caller say that she was threatened, that she doesn't even know how it happened. Well, you sign this, and you're going to owe this money, and your parents are going to be upset if you don't have the abortion. And she went ahead and did it, kind of terrified over what she was doing. So, yeah, it's anything but, well, let's sit down, let's look at the options, let's discuss them together. Is there any reason that you can't have the baby? Is there? No. They want you to have the abortion. So glad your daughter and her husband didn't. And so glad you get to be a grandfather and watch a grandchild get married. God bless you, man.
Yeah, thank you. And God bless you for all you do.
Well, it's our joy. Thanks so much. 866-34-TRUTH. All right. I'm just... do I want to go through any of these other clips or news items? Yeah, so just a little bit more on the fifth video. This is as reported on thehill.com earlier today. In the fifth video, from the Center for Medical Progress, a woman identified as Melissa Farrell, Director of Research for Planned Parenthood Gulf Coast, discusses contributing to the organization's, quote, diversification of the revenue stream. Diversification of the revenue stream. Ways to make more money. Diversify. Not just abortions, not just this, but trafficking in baby ports. And the potential to, quote, get creative with conditions for procurement needs. In other words, you need certain parts of the body. Maybe the abortion is not going to be intact because the baby's being ripped up. But if we know you need them, we can find creative ways to work with the doctor. It's going to be his call, but maybe we could make sure the doctor does the abortion a certain way to get what you're looking for. The video was reportedly filmed this past April at a Planned Parenthood facility in Texas. Just depending on the patient's anatomy, how many weeks, where it's placed in the uterus, we're going to potentially be able to have some that will be more or less intact and then some that will not be. But it's something we can look at exploring how we can make that happen so we have a higher chance. And we've had studies in which the company, or in the case of the investigator, has a specific need for a certain portion of the products of conception. The products of conception, which are identifiable now as liver and brain tissue, limbs. Products of conception. I'm a product of conception. You're a product of conception. We've had studies in which the company, or in the case of the investigator, has a special need for a certain portion of the products of conception. And we bake that into our contract and our protocol that we follow this. So we deviate from our standard in order to do that. If we alter our process and we are able to obtain intact fetal cadavers, then we can make it part of the budget. That any dissections are this, and splitting the specimens into different shipments is this. I mean, it's all just a matter of line item. All just a matter of line items. Does that not sound Nazi-like? Where Jewish corpses were harvested, where you had these endless stacks of glasses of the Jews who were gassed to death, and then gold teeth or skin being made into lampshades. Yes, these things really happened. Now, parts of babies and how they bill these things, the dissection versus this or that, just line items. 866-34-TRUTH. Michelle, stay right there. I want to get your call on the other side of the break.
Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much for joining us on the Line of Fire. This is Michael Brown. We are blessed to have you as our listeners. I spent the last 7 minutes of the last hour talking about forgiveness, talking about how God forgives and forgets, talking about how the blood of Jesus really, truly does pay for all of our sins. And when we turn to him asking for mercy, God washes us clean. I said it because of the pain expressed by yet another caller, another woman who had an abortion in the past, a Christian, a believer, knows she's forgiven and yet knows she's not fully healed because the pain is still so great and that sense of guilt that can come up. If you're listening, you've had an abortion. If you're not a follower of Jesus, that's where you need to start getting your life right. And that sin of abortion is one of thousands of sins you've committed, just as I did, just as we all did outside of Jesus. And he died for all of them. And if you truly call out to him for mercy, he will forgive you. He will give you a new life. And from here on, you live for him, not for yourself. That's what it means to be born again and start a new life. If you are a believer, I want you to meditate on what Jesus did on the cross. If you struggle in the area of forgiveness because of the pain you still carry over an abortion, but I want you to know that however tragic the decision, God's a redeemer, and he can bring life out of it and hope out of it. And certainly he wants you to be whole in your own life. 866-34-TRUTH. We go to Winston-Salem. Michelle, thank you for calling the Line of Fire.
Thank you for having my call, taking my call. I just wanted to comment from, thank you again for reminding, you know, people who have gone through this type of situation. That there is still forgiveness. I'm a believer now in my late 30s, but when I was 19, I did have an abortion. And I always, in the waiting area, like there were a bunch of young girls, and we all kind of like were talking about our background, our stories. And I seen several of the girls, they were being made to do it by their parents. And a lot of them did not want to do it, but it brought so much shame to their family. My reasoning was, you know, I didn't have anything to offer, and I've always heard that it's not an actual faith because I think at the time the least amount of time was maybe, I think, 7 or 8 weeks.
Yeah.
And I was right at the mark, so I was always told that, you know, it's not a baby because it's not fully developed. So you're not doing anything wrong. You know, that's what they tell us when we went back and, you know, spoke to the nurses. You know, they kept reassuring us and encouraging us that it was okay because, you know, we were not doing anything wrong. You know, and
yeah, absolutely. And look, they may sincerely believe that. And let me ask this, Michelle, after the abortion, and you had in your mind, okay, it's not really a baby, it's not really a person yet, and you know, you've got nothing to offer this child. How old were you, Michelle?
19.
Okay. Immediately after that day, the next days, how did you feel? I'm not asking, I'm looking for a certain answer. I'm just curious. How did you feel?
I felt like something had happened to me spiritually, and I always kind of being kind of in tune and always knew the things of God and knew about spirituality. I literally felt like something happened to me spiritually. It was weird. Actually, when I got up off the table, I fainted. And I blacked out. And when I finally woke up, I was in a chair. And a lady was walking away, was like, I can't carry you. She was putting me in a chair. She's like, I can't carry you no more. You keep passing out. And it was just so cold and nasty. Like, after it happened, like, before it happened, I was baby. I mean, I was encouraged. I was loved. I mean, I felt like accepted. I felt like it was okay. But as soon as I did it, it was, even from the doctor and the nurse, it was just so much, it was just evil. And it wasn't, you know, you'll be okay. It was like, oh, you keep passing out. You're too heavy. I can't carry you.
Yeah, hey, you paid your money and the thing's done. What's the use of you staying there?
Right.
So, right. Well, obviously the way you're talking, you've been able to move on with life and receive God's grace. But boy,
hear about it again, like knowing that that could have happened to my child, that they're selling the parts or using it for whatever reason, knowing that I took part of that I thought that was okay, that I made myself believe it. Even though I know that God's forgiven me, it hurts. It still hurts.
I understand. I can't understand from the viewpoint of a woman, but just as a fellow human being, when you think back to things you have regret over, absolutely. And Michelle, that's why whenever we bring this up, even though I'm not a woman and I haven't gone through this, it's always near to my heart, talk about forgiveness, because the last thing I want to do is condemn. But we have to lift our voices. Young ladies listening, you need to hear what Michelle had to say. She thought she was doing the right thing, but afterwards she realized it was spiritually evil. And hey, one day you're going to get to be with that little one again, and you got a lot of time to make up for it, don't you?
Yes, I do. And one more thing I'd like to add. I tried to get pregnant for many years. I went through a surgery. I went through a lot. And, you know, by the grace of God, you know, after so many years and surgeries and everything, I finally had another child. But I went through a lot. So I would just say, you know, be encouraged. You know, if you ever think about it, if you have a family member, you know, pray. Get to someone. If you're around people who can't encourage you, find someone. Call somebody. Go on Facebook. There are plenty of people out there that, you know, that will help you.
Yeah, absolutely. There are support groups. And that's the other thing that they're not going to tell you, that in point of fact, in many cases, women have a hard time getting pregnant after an abortion. Either it's more difficult or it's impossible. Yet another unintended side effect. So thank you for the warning. And look, there are pregnancy crisis centers. That's what they exist for. Any pro-life organization, if you know what to do, just got online, type in pro-life and say, hey, I think I have to have an abortion. I don't know what else to do. I'm under pressure. What can you tell me? And there is help available. Hey, thank you. Thank you for calling. And may the Lord's grace continue to flood your heart. I know there are more of you that want to weigh in, but we are out of time. Maybe we can take some more calls tomorrow. I don't plan to focus on this, but this is so important. If you're able to call in tomorrow, earlier in the broadcast, I'll see if I can get to some of these calls, because I know you have important things to say. Friends, let's keep praying for the defunding of Planned Parenthood, the overturning of Roe v. Wade, and a culture of life for the mother, for the baby, for the father, that will overtake our nation with compassionate solutions for those who for some reason cannot care for a child, that they will know there are others who will, that there's never a reason to terminate the life of that baby in the womb. Friends, visit the website, AskDrBrown.org. Check out the latest articles, the latest videos, and make sure to click on the special offer. You can get 15% discount on Logos Bible software through our special partnership with Logos, all on the website. My bottom line today, as we hear from caller after caller, breaking down in tears as they talk about abortions in the past, let's realize how grave this is, and yet there's mercy at the cross.